Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome. You're in the Red Zone at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday afternoon as we are going to make our way through the next hour, getting you up to date with what's going on in the world of Chiefs football. We'll talk about the Chiefs and Falcons, look ahead to the Chiefs and Bucks. Also, we're going to hear later on from Wallace Gilberry, Chiefs defensive end, first on the team in sacks from the defensive line position last year and looking to improve upon those numbers this year. Wallace Gilberry coming up a little bit later on. Coming up next, one of the great players in the history of the National Football League, Bobby Bell, will join us, Hall of Fame linebacker and a guy that knows about winning championships. Get his thoughts on exactly how they won the title back in 1969 and his thoughts on this team, where it is and as it advances here in 2010. Of course, the Chiefs taking the field for the first time on Friday night against the Atlanta Falcons, 20-10 losers. And I got to be honest with you, my initial reaction was one of very, you know, of frustration with that game because of the final score, because of the turnovers. As I've had time to break it down, evaluate it, and chew through the numbers a little bit more, I think the game is better than we might realize. The one thing that is the recipe for disaster is turning the football over three times. That is not going to win any games for anybody. That will crush you. The Chiefs with two interceptions, also a fumble lost on a sack. Sack two times. I mean, maybe let's just do it this way. Let's just go over the negatives. Two interceptions, a fumble, lost on a sack, sacked twice, got no sacks. The Chiefs were not able to sack the Atlanta Falcons. That was a problem in the football game. And when it came to turnovers, they killed themselves. Turning the football over while not turning over their opposition, that is going to be a problem. And that was one of the problems last year for this football team. And I think that was the initial taste that was left in my mouth as I evaluated this football game. And I think it's legit. I mean, those are negatives. Those are problems. It is just one preseason football game. And it is just a preseason football game. I think the thing to be optimistic about is the Chiefs actually did outgain the Atlanta Falcons 273-244. Now, they trailed only 3-0 when Atlanta started taking out a couple of their first stringers. And with still a number of first stringers in on both sides, it was 3-3 and 3-3 at the half. How would this game have been had the first stringers played? Who knows? Would they have turned the football over? Well, one turnover came on a sack of Matt Cassel. The two interceptions thrown by backup quarterbacks. You just don't know. But the Falcons did not turn the football over. And that's a problem. I mean, this defense has to take away the football if they're going to be successful. But I do think it's important to note that Jamaal Charles ran well. That Dexter McCluster looks like he brings something to the equation. The passing game has got to get downfield. You assume they will see more of that as we get into the regular season. Matt Cassel, 6 of 8, but for only 25 yards. That's just over 3 yards per attempt. Those numbers have got to get bigger. We assume that some of it was playing it close to the vest, but at some point the Chiefs have got to go further downfield. My initial reaction on this game, as I said, was about the turnovers and the final score being 20-10. I think when you look at the yardage, while points are what obviously wins and loses games, the yardage totals are an indicator of who will score the points. And I think the yardage totals speak higher of the Chiefs and some of the individual performances. We saw Kendrick Lewis play at a high level. We saw Jamaal Charles. We saw Dexter McCluster play at a high level. I think those are reasons to get excited. The nervous part is that the front seven did get pushed around by the first-team Falcons and that the Falcons were able to run the football effectively on their opening drive. The Chiefs eventually did stop the Atlanta Falcons and force them into a field goal, but they were run right over early in that game. That's got to change. Todd Haley addressed that, talking about the football team getting a better start, and I think that goes without saying. I think there are two main things to watch, and this is my frustration. The two main things that I was looking for out of this football team, I want to see the quarterback go out and have a better day. I want to see him raise his game, and I want to see the front seven play better football. I think those are the two biggest things, which we've talked about a lot, that this football team can get better at, is if they get better at quarterback and they get better on their front seven. If those two things occur, this football team has the potential to take a giant step forward. If those two things do not occur, It will be a difficult year for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was a little frustrated that we didn't see better play out of the quarterbacks. And I was frustrated the way the front seven was run over early in this football game. No sacks and giving up big chunks of yardage on that first drive, although the defense did do better later on against the run. But turning the ball over is a killer. If they take away those three turnovers, maybe this is a football game that's a 10-10 game, a 13-10 game. Maybe it's 10-3 Kansas City Chiefs. Turnovers are a killer. We'll see this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if it is an epidemic of more things to come, or if it was simply a tough day for a couple of the quarterbacks, really all three of the quarterbacks, the sack, fumble, turnover for Matt Castle, and the interception from Brody Croyle and the interception from Tyler Palko. We will see how that plays out this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Bobby Bell. Wallace Gilberry coming up a little bit later. Bobby Bell coming up next.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback. And a great block. Springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Big 12 college football action returns to Kansas City in 2010. Tickets are on sale now to see the Kansas State Wildcats take on the Iowa State Cyclones Saturday, September 18th at the new Arrowhead Stadium. The 2009 battle at Arrowhead featured the Wildcats blocking the Cyclones' game-tying extra point with 32 seconds left to preserve the one-point victory. Tickets start at just $20 and are available at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Head coach Paul Rhodes and his Cyclones look to start the Big 12 conference season off right as they face off against the Wildcats and head coach Bill Snyder for the second year in a row at Arrowhead Stadium. Great seats are available in all levels and start at only $20. Get your tickets now at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. It's the K-State Wildcats and Iowa State Cyclones when Big 12 college football returns to the new Arrowhead Stadium Saturday, September 18th.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to KCChiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
And welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a very busy Wednesday as the season is ticking closer, a season that many hope will get this franchise back to the greatness it once experienced. One of the guys who experienced that greatness in the Chiefs organization, one of the greatest players in the history of Chiefs football, joins us right now. Bobby Bell is with us here in the Red Zone. Bobby, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. This time of year, do you still get an itch to maybe go play ball, or has that gone away now?
Oh, every day. No.
Does it? Does I mean, is this time of year, do you think about, you know, is there, I mean, I don't think you're going to act on it, but do you think about, you know, does it bring you back to the days when you were headed off to camp?
It kind of, you know, reminded me of that because now since they moved back to Kansas City, you know, up at St. Joe, it reminded me that camp is right around the corner. You can go up there. I went up there about a week ago to the training camp in St. Joe, man. I said, oh, my gosh, I remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks a lot more familiar than it did, obviously, in the River Falls days. But it was not 3 weeks in the door for training camp back when you were with the Kansas City Chiefs. What was it, like 8-9 weeks that you guys would be in camp?
Well, I thought it was a year. Well, it was 5 to 6. Oh, no, it was 6 weeks, I think it was. I mean, we played like 6 exhibition games.
And didn't you guys, I mean, I was thinking, somebody told me once that it was like 10 weeks at like all 6 preseason games, but even 3 or 4 weeks before that, you guys would be in
camp.
Well,
we 6, 7, it's like, I think it probably is like more or less 8, I think, 8 weeks. We had like 6 games, and 2 weeks before that, we'd be in practice. Yeah.
Did you ever tell any of the young guys, hey, you got it easy now? Because they still complain about training camp.
Well, they complained about it, but, you know, we had guys that had we really had to really get going because a lot of guys come in out of shape during training camp. I mean, right during the training camp because they didn't have the workout facilities like they have now year-round. So most of the guys had to work jobs off-season, you know. A lot of guys had their jobs off-season. They worked them all the way up into training camp.
Did you see it kind of changing even in your time playing in the league where guys started to spend more time trying to physically prepare themselves, getting more into the weight training and everything that's so big in today's NFL?
Well, you know, it was kind of like at the end of my career, you know, guys started getting in weight, had a weight program off season, you know, and they started kind of working that in at the end of my career, you know, that you could see that. And then the next thing you know, they turned it around. It was like a year-round program, you know, and now they was paying guys, they were giving guys incentives, like, you know, if you worked out in the facility where they could see you working out, they would pay them like X number of dollars, you know. Good grief, that was awesome, man. I would love to have been around when they, you know, start paying guys to work out.
Yeah, workout bonuses and
workout bonuses and stuff like that. You know, some of these guys was making more money in workout bonuses than I was making.
let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you got to the Chiefs. I mean, you started out. Did I read this correct? You were a high school quarterback as well as playing defense when you were before you even got to Minnesota?
Yeah, I was a high school quarterback. And I started off playing like 6-man football. We didn't have enough players to play 11-man football in Shelby, North Carolina. It was just a small town. I think it was like 168 in the whole high school, you know. And it was just a small school. I played quarterback. You know, I had, you know, 2 halfbacks, quarterback, 2 ends, and a center. And that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not remember, for some of our younger listeners, Bobby Bell considered maybe the greatest athlete ever to play in the National Football League. Did you enjoy quarterback? Would you have rather played quarterback? I mean, times were very different then. Society was different. You know, there were not a lot of, you know, black players that were given a chance to play the quarterback position. Would you have liked to have had more opportunities to do that?
Well, you know, I think, you know, if I had to do it all over again, I guess I wouldn't change anything because life has been good with me with sports also. But, you know, you're right. Back then, you know, you don't see too many black quarterbacks. You didn't see that many guys in the backfield that was black, you know. And when I came along at that time, it was like it was before time. I couldn't even go to North Carolina College. I couldn't go to North Carolina University at all because they weren't accepting blacks there. And that's the reason I had an opportunity to go to a big school like University of Minnesota. Gave me an opportunity to go there. That was a Big Ten school. And I took that journey to Minnesota. I'd never been on a plane before.
Right.
Here I am getting on a plane going to Minnesota, and it's the Big Ten. And also, you know, up there you didn't have that many blacks on the team. And when I got to Minnesota, it was Bill Munson was my roommate. Sandy Stephen was the first black quarterback. In fact, Sandy Stephen was the first black All-American quarterback. He came out of Uniontown, came to Minnesota. He was a quarterback for us. And Judge Dixon was the fullback, and Bill Munson was the running back. The whole backfield was black. And my freshman year up in Minnesota was I played quarterback. And back then, that you know, you didn't play, you couldn't play varsity football. You had to, you know, your freshman, right. You played freshman ball. Then the only time you can eligible to play varsity was your sophomore year. So my freshman year, I played quarterback. And, you know, and Coach Warman at that time decided, hey, man, he wanted his best players, all of them, on the field at the same time. And I played quarterback, but he said, I'm going to switch you to offensive tackle, defensive end. You know, but I didn't want to, hey, I'll play anywhere. I don't care. I just wanted to be on the team. I don't care where it was. And I said, that's fine. You know, I never played it. I said, if you can coach me, hey, I'm coachable. Let's go. And that's how I ended up playing defensive end and offensive tackle.
We're talking to Bobby Bell, Hall of Famer for the Kansas City Chiefs. Bobby, you finished third in the Heisman Trophy voting. Was that the highest a defensive player had finished for that award up to that time?
Oh, yeah. Well, they never heard of a lineman. And I found out later. I talked to a writer out of Chicago a few years ago. You know, he was telling me about that. You know, the year that I finished third, the year before that, Ernie Davidson from
Syracuse.
Syracuse got the Heisman. That's the first time a black one ever got it. And so the guy, the writer was telling me, he's retired, you know, he's about 85, 90 years old. He said, I just want to tell you something. I was going to a car show in Chicago. He said, that year we had a big argument about about you being voted in for the Heisman. He said everybody was worried about it because the year before about it. Ernie Davidson, they got him to be a Heisman Trophy winner, running back. And this year, they said, out of all the picks there, you know, they said, you came in first. Really, basically, it was first. And they said, we couldn't do it. They said, the guy said, no, we can't do that. He's a lineman, number one, you know. He said, hey, we put Ernie Davidson there. He said, well, we can't put two blacks in a row as a Heisman Trophy, because they're first, you know. And I didn't know anything about it, you know. And he was telling me about that. Yeah, I thought that was great. I mean, I was the highest, I think, was the first highest lineman they ever came up that high, I think.
And who won the Heisman that year?
Terry Baker.
Terry Baker. Okay.
Remember him? He was a quarterback.
Yeah, yep. I remember, you know, I've read about him. I've read about him. He certainly didn't go on to have the NFL career that you did. Now, did he?
He didn't play anywhere.
I don't know of him. I'd be news to me if he did. I don't know. He might have had a cup of coffee, but he certainly did not have a Hall of Fame career. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, he ended up being the Heisman, you know, and that was the last I ever heard of him, you know.
Yeah, I don't know that he did much of anything in the NFL. Certainly not like the career you had. You get to the Chiefs. What do you remember, you know, your thoughts about AFL versus NFL at that time?
Well, I didn't really have any thoughts about it because at that time it was the beginning of the AFL. And Lamar Hunt had just started that, you know.
Yep.
You know, he came to Minnesota to talk to me. And at that, Lamar and them drafted me as a Dallas, Texas, and I think it was like seventh round. Everybody figured that Minnesota drafted me in third round. They said, well, this guy's going to Minnesota because he played at the University of Minnesota. It's a natural for him to go ahead and play for the Vikings, you know. And Lamar came up and talked to me. I'm the one. I talked to Lamar before I ever even talked to Coach Stram or anybody down there. He's the one that came up and talked to me. And for as I could, you know, about the AFL and the NFL, I didn't have no thoughts about it, you know. I just wanted the opportunity to show that I could play professionally football, you know. And Lamar is the one that gave me the opportunity to play, you know. And like I tell people all the time, the greatest thing that ever happened is that Lamar Hunt started the AFL. because if he hadn't started the AFL, we would not have as many blacks playing football. I mean, they gave a lot of blacks players opportunity to play because they went to recruit people out of Grambling, Prairie View, Morgan. See, look at Lanier. Lanier was a middle linebacker. They didn't believe in having a black middle linebacker.
He was the first one ever in professional football.
Right. And now they didn't believe in having a black quarterback. You couldn't play. In fact, you know, going back, back then, Sandy Stevens was the first black All-America, and he wanted to play quarterback. He didn't want to play no other position. And so the National Football League, well, they were going to draft him. In fact, the Cleveland Browns drafted him. But Jim Brown is one, I think, he's the one that called Minnesota and talked to Sandy and told him, say, hey, man, you come here, they're going to make a defensive back. He said, no, they said they're going to make, I can play quarterback. He said, I'm telling you right now, they're going to make a defensive back. If you don't want to play defensive back, they're going to trade you to Detroit. Sandy took off and went to Canada. He played for Montreal, where they won the Grey Cup 2 years in a row up there with him.
Yeah, and people don't remember Canada was a much bigger threat. I mean, there were a number of guys. Joe Capp played up in the CFL. There were a lot of guys played up in the CFL. It was probably closer to NFL level. It's still a competitive level of football, but it's not the NFL level. It was probably closer to the NFL level back then. And part of that was because a lot of guys, as you mentioned, a lot of the black players wouldn't get the opportunities.
Oh, Warren Moon went up there, so he could play, you know.
Yeah.
Warren Moon was up there. He came down, you know. Hey, there's some great players that took off and went because they didn't get an opportunity to play here, you know. And that's why I tell people all the time, you know, by Lamar starting the AFL and, AFL, he opened the doors for a lot of blacks, and they started playing in competition. They couldn't figure out where you're getting these guys that was fast, quick, big, strong. It was coming out of these black schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, they got an opportunity to play and show they're talented in football. That was the one thing that kicked off the NFL is put it where it is today, you know, because it got you a chance. You know, when we played in the first Super Bowl, they said we weren't capable of, you know, doing anything, but, you know, call us the Mickey Mouse League. And then it didn't take them long to figure that out. We're not the Mickey Mouse League. We were here to stay. You know, Joe Namath proved it. He came back that third Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl. They couldn't believe it. And we was a wild card, came in and beat Minnesota. Well, that put the icing on the cake right there. They said, well, these guys not going away.
Well, what I've been told is that they looked at the Jets winning because, actually, if you look at that game, statistically, the Colts dominated the game, yardage, time of possession, but the Jets won it. But a lot of people said, hey, that was just a fluke. But it was when the Chiefs came in, when you guys came in Super Bowl IV, not only did you win the game, you won it decisively, more than a touchdown. You dominated statistically. You dominated time of possession. And that was the one that everybody finally had to say, hey, the AFL is here every bit the equal to the National Football League. And, of course, that was the last time that the AFL competed in the Super Bowl as the AFL. The next year they would be the AFC.
Yeah. That's, you know, that was it. That was the icing on the cake, you know. They said, whoa. You know, they thought the Jets was that was an accident. You know, and then we came back, and we were the underdog. We shouldn't even be in the Super Bowl. They were claiming we should not even be there. What kind of team is this coming in there? And we just proved to them that, hey, we're here to stay. And I think that year, I think that year we had probably the best defense in the country, man, going.
Oh, it's one of the great defenses of all time. We're talking to Bobby Bell, Hall of Fame linebacker. How about that defense, Bobby? What made it? I mean, we know you and Willie, Hall of Famers. Buck Buchanan, Hall of Famer.
Emmitt Thomas,
Hall of Famer. Obviously, there was a lot of talent, and there was a talent all over the field. And we've named a D-tackle, a middle linebacker, an outside linebacker, yourself, a corner.
Well, you look at the whole situation, you know, there. We had players that was on the field is like coaches having coaches on the field. We all knew the game well, and we played as a team. I knew what talent that Lanier, the players around me could do, and they knew what I could do. Everybody knew the capabilities of each other, and we played off of that. You know, we played at a team. you know, we had coaches back there. You know, a situation comes up. We look at the situation. We'll check out. In defense, we'll check out. And, you know, you look around, you know, offense the same way. We had players. We had coaches on the field, man, running up and down the field. You know, they try to take something away from it. Hey, they want to take that. Hey, they want to give us a little bit, we'll take it. And we know a matter of time, we had the right plays, like defensive players. We had the right offensive player. Hey, it works. It's going to work, you know. All we had to do is execution. And that was a whole game plan, is that we came in that game to execution. You know, we're going to execute. We're going to run this ball. We're going to stop your run. We're going to go at your strength and beat you at your own game. And that's what happened, you know, is that we had so many great players out there, you know, and that we're going, hey, don't count us off, you know. They had, what was it, 14 or 6, 13, 15 points on the dogs? Oh,
yeah.
Come on. Give us a break, you know. You know, the whole year we played tough defense. And, you know, we end up playing. Oh, Lenny Dawson did not play 7 games. We had Mike Livingston was the quarterback. A lot of people don't remember that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, all we wanted to do defense-wise, we told them, if we score 6 points, hey, we can beat them. Because at that time, defense-wise, we could not give up nothing but 6. We figured we can give up 1 touchdown, maybe. 1. You know, and if they get anything, they get 2 field goals. All we need is at least 7 points. 2 field goals, 3 field goals, and we can beat them. And that's what we relied on. You know, when someone was down, we just stepped up to the ante a little bit, you know. We thought, hey, don't worry about it. We can still win these games.
Yeah, it reminds me of, I talked to Rodney Harrison several weeks ago, and we were talking about Charlie Weiss and Romeo Crennel and him playing for them under the Patriots and their schemes. You know, obviously they're now the coordinators here in Kansas City. He said, hey, they'll definitely put you in the right place to go. But he said, let's not forget, we had players. He said, we had guys who could really play there in New England. And, you know, the stack defense and the short control passing game that the Chiefs had, which were very revolutionary at that time, all you got to do is look around. You guys could play. I mean, they were big-time players. Schemes are great, but at some point the game still comes down to one man beating another man, doesn't it?
That's right, you know. And they came, you know they, back then they used to call us, you know, we call it the triple stack. You know, mm-hmm. It was obsolete. They said we had a defense obsolete. That's what people run now, you know. We had to spread deep offense, you know, and they spread them out and put backs like ends out there, you know, running the pass. That, they call that the West Coast. We call it a different offense, you know. It was just a different game plan that we call. And at that time, they were telling us we were running obsolete stuff. But, you know, the NFL, they found out back then, you know, hey, they couldn't run against that triple stack because we had linebackers. We had players back there that can play them position. We had a curly cup or a Bug Buchanan on your nose. You can't block them with one guy. You had to have 2 guys blocking up there, you know. We singled it out, you know. We had offense the same way, man. Quick, fast. Good receiver, Otis Taylor, you know. Mike Gary, you know. Fred Albanis, the running back there. Jim Tired. We had some great players, man. Ed Buddy, man. We had some great players.
Yeah,
And defensive-wise, you know, we couldn't ask for anything better, you know. Buck, Buchanan, Aaron Brown, Jerry Mays, you got Lanier, you got Jim Lynch, Johnny Robinson, that's another one, you know, he should be in the Hall of Fame. You got Emmett Thomas in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, Jimmy Marcello, the bump and run, him and Emmett Thomas and Willie Brown at Oakland, they came up with that bump and run stuff, man. Hey, you want to play? Come on, bring it on. Jim Kearney, you know, here's a guy. Yes, Jim Kearney was a strong safety for us, and people don't realize he was the quarterback at Prairie View, and Otis was a receiver.
Yeah.
Guess who was the center for him?
Boy, I don't know who.
Kenny Houston.
Oh, really? Wow.
Kenny Houston.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
He was a center.
Wow, that is amazing. That's some talent. And that's like you talk about, the black schools were not getting a chance. The guys from there were not getting a chance to play. And the AFL gave them that chance. Buck Buchanan, Grambling, you know, and it was a huge talent source that the AFL tapped into. And and brought the league right up to the equal of the NFL right away. It no doubt changed the game. I mean, and brought it forward into the modern era. I'm curious, Bobby, did you know in your championship teams, you know, particularly that Super Bowl championship team, did you have a sense early on? Was there a time during the year that you knew, okay, all the pieces are here, we're good enough, and we are going to win it?
Well, you know, I felt after, you know, Lenny went down, got hurt, Mike Lipson, yeah, I think we the team as a whole, we sat down and talked. Everybody said, oh, man, the season is over with. No, we said, no, it's not. You know, we still can win out on this thing. We came in as a wild card. You know, Oakland beat us twice that year. They beat us in Kansas City, and they beat us out there that year.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going, oh, man, wait a minute. We made the playoff because we came in behind Oakland. But by us being in the playoff, the wild card, we had to go and play the Jets. I said, we still in this. And, you know, and Joe Namath tell you himself, you know, they felt that they're going back to the Super Bowl. All they got to do is knock off Kansas City, go out and play Oakland, and go back to the Super Bowl. That's what they figured. But we came into New York, and we said, hey, we got to play three games on the road. We got to play two games on the road to get into the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we took that game. We took that, and Coach Schramm said, hey, man, we can go back. We can go to the Super Bowl. All we got to go take care of, we got to go take care of New York first. Then we go out to Oakland, take care of Oakland, and boom. And we felt that, hey, it's no way in this world that Oakland's going to beat us three times.
Well, people said that, you know, that last game, it was a matter of, you know, that Hank, you know, held it all close to the vest. I mean, I think Lenny only threw the ball four or five times.
Oh, yeah, we ran the ball.
Yeah, you just ran it on every single snap that he was basically just holding everything in and was going to let it all loose on the playoffs. Is that true?
Well, you know, they end up beating us. They beat us two games in a row. You know, they beat us twice that year, and we just kind of held back and said, hey, all we got to do is worry about it. We're not going to just show them everything. We end up going to New York and beat the Jets, and when we came out there to play it against them, we ran the ball on them. We just stuffed it on them, took it to them. He said, we're going to take the fight to him. And they didn't know what happened. They were anticipating that we were going to do the same thing we did before, and we did not do it. We went out there, we ended up beating them, and they were just shocked them.
Well, with one of the greatest goal line stands in the history of football, right?
Well, the ones up in, up in the Jets.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. In fact, I'm sitting here now looking at the game ball.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The Jets right here. I'm looking at the game ball.
That's one of the great games in the history of this franchise. And like I said, one of the great – wasn't it Willie Lanier got in the huddle and said, we will not let them score. It's first and goal at the one. We will not let them score.
He said, hey, we've got to buckle down. They're not scoring down here. You know, the play that Joe Namath called running back.
Matt Snell?
Matt Snell. He faked it to him, we're supposed to take the fake. We're supposed to take that. What he did, he gave it to him like he was going to run that ball off tackle, and Joe Namath pulled the ball out and kept it. He's going to drop it off a little short pass. And guess what? I'm standing right in front of him. I said, bingo. I was there. He said to me, what the heck are you doing out here? You got to go. You got to take that fake. I said, nah, man. I said, I got you.
That is Bobby Bell, Chiefs Hall of Fame linebacker. We're talking about the Chiefs championship season, beating the Jets, Raiders, and Vikings for the Super Bowl IV championship. We'll take a break here in the Red Zone. When we come back, we'll talk more with Bobby about this year's Chiefs. Where does he think the Chiefs are going in 2010? That's next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint.
It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365, and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
The off-season workouts are complete. Training camp is underway. The new Arrowhead Stadium is ready to make its Monday Night Football debut. The NFL season is near. Will you be there? Great seats are available with tickets to Chiefs games starting at just $30. Single game Chiefs tickets are on sale now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or via Ticketmaster. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium and be there when your Chiefs take on the Packers, the Eagles, AFC West rivals the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers, or the 49ers, Cardinals, Bills, Jags, or Titans. Great seats are available for all games but won't last long and are subject to availability. Don't wait. Get your single game Chiefs tickets now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. The new Arrowhead, new body, same soul. Now let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to the Red Zone here on kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. Try to get some of your emails a little bit later on, but right now we're talking to Chiefs Hall of Famer Bobby Bell, one of the great football players ever to play this game. Hall of Famer, not just Chiefs Hall of Fame, but NFL Hall of Fame as well. And some people say the greatest athlete to ever play in the National Football League. Bobby, we talked about you guys winning a championship. That's obviously the goal of every team. The Chiefs trying to take a big step forward. What do you think about their chances of improving this year?
I think Scott Pioli, you know, he went out there. They got some players. And what I like about it, they went out and got some great players that played in college that are leaders. And they got captains, you know. They got some players that people – they got some young man that wants to play this game, and they are team players. That's what I like about it. You know, in order for this team to even break out of here, they got to play as a team, and they got to have a couple guys on defense and a couple guys on offense to make things happen. And I think they got them out there. They got some good speed, and it's a matter of them playing it together as a team. You know, this first couple games of the exhibition, they're looking at a lot of players, and what they're trying to do is try to weed out some. They got to see who's going to, what the cream's going to come to the top. You know, they need a couple players on defense and a couple players on offense can be a player that they got to go to. You know, offensive guy comes up to, when a quarterback comes up to the line, you know, and I always said this, he's got to look around to find out where a couple players is going to be ankle. And that dictate to him what he's going to do. Because if he don't, you know, he can come up there and say, ah, we can do this on the right. We can run left, right, left, right. They can't stop us. Same way on defense, you know. You got defensive players that can make something happen. You got the same way on offense. You got to make something happen out there. You know, you have to have somebody, a go-to player that you have to go to that make that extra 3 or 4 yards.
Yeah, the guy who can beat another guy.
That's right. And, you know, and when you make another team defense, they, make their defense. We got to have a defense to stop so-and-so. Or we got to have an offensive play that can break down on the so-and-so. We got to know this. See, now you're on your way. And I think, personally, the Chiefs are going to surprise a lot of people this year. They're going to surprise. They're going to win this year of games. You know, it's just a matter of time. You know, last year was the first year for Scott Pio and Haley. And, you know, he had a lot of pressure. The head coach had a lot of pressure on him last year because he didn't have the coaching staff in place. And he had to get rid of his first offensive coordinator. And then that put a lot of pressure on him. He's got to do three or four jobs now. And now you don't have to worry about that. You got Wise in there. He's a great offensive coach, coordinator. You know, you got, hey, Romeo, oh, man, you can't ask for a better defensive man. He knows the system. He knows players. He knows how to put you in the spot.
Yep. Yep. I mean, it looks like it's all ready. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. He knows where to put the players. And now they got to make sure the players can produce. They got to be able to play the defense. If they can execute the defense that they put them in there, they can stop the people defense-wise. Offensive-wise, these guys got an execution, you know, and they got to give the passer some protection. They got to be able to block. The linemen's got to come through for them this year. I don't think offensive line was not good last year at all. You know, if they come through, they don't have to be the greatest, you know. You just got an execution. It's name of the game. And they got to play as a team. You got to play as a team.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to do their part, you know. You know, everybody has got to do their part. And if they do, the special team, you know, the game is made up in three phases, offense, defense, and special teams. If they execute all them three, you know, and everybody do their part, hey, they can win this year a game. You know, and I can see them winning in the division here.
Yeah, I think San Diego's come back to them a little bit. I mean, they've lost a lot of talent here of late.
San Diego lost a lot of talent, and Denver is coming. You know, these are the three teams out there that beat them. It was the Denver and San Diego has been the strongest.
Yeah.
I think they have lost a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
All they got to do now, you know, I tell people all the time, hey, if you're out there scratching and crawling, man, if you beat every team that's on the 500 ball, when they go out on that field, if their team gets together and they say, hey, man, we got to beat all these teams that's on the 500. They can't just sneak up here and let a weak team. If they are on the 500, man, you got to knock them off. If you beat them and split with the other teams that's over 500, if you can't make the playoff, man, something's wrong.
Yeah, it sounds like Dick Vermeil. I remember him saying one of his adages was keep the losing teams losing. When bad teams come in, keep them losing. And if you get that opportunity and you take care of business against the teams you're supposed to beat, then fight hard against the other good teams, you should be in a good position at the end of the year. We're talking to Bobby Bell here in the Red Zone. Bobby, I got to give me my final four quickies. You just tell me the first thing that pops into your head, and I'll start with this. Give me a teammate of yours. So many of your teammates are in the Hall of Fame. Give me one that's not that you think should be.
Otis Taylor.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would probably agree with
that. Yeah, Otis Taylor, Ed Buddy, you know, I can just name him, man.
Yeah, Ed Buddy, too. I think a lot of people talk about Otis Taylor, and he's certainly well-deserving. I think Ed Buddy, more people should be talking about him, one of the great offensive linemen in AFL history.
Oh, yeah.
And his name doesn't get mentioned enough. Hopefully they'll get some more work on both those guys. On the Veterans Committee. All right, let's talk about this. How often do you wear your Super Bowl ring?
I do a lot of appearances all the time.
You do it, so you wear it a lot?
Yeah, in fact, I think I probably wear my Super Bowl more than anybody because I do a lot of events, you know, and when I don't show up with it, they go, where's your ring at? You know?
Yeah.
I have to send it off and have them shining up every once in a while, Jocelyn, every year. One year, I sent it back. They said, man, what are you doing? You working in this thing, man, outdoors? You know? But, you know, I wear it all the time. I'm flying all over the place, you know, and if you don't wear it, you know, people just go, what's that ring? I heard. Because, you know, Super Bowl IV ring, everybody considers it, that's one of the nicest looking rings out there.
It is a great looking ring, there's no doubt. And I'm sure everybody expects it to be there. They want to get a look at it because not many people have them. They're certainly something that everybody likes to get their hands on. All right, how about this one? You're a Big Ten guy. How about Nebraska going to the Big Ten? Is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, I think that's a good idea. You know, everybody wants to go into the Big Ten, you know. So I think that that's a good idea.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be great for both the conference and for Nebraska. I think it'll be a lot of fun. I'm sad for Big 12, but I think for Nebraska, with the circumstances that were going on, it was a great move for them, and the Big Ten got a great storied program to join their league. It'll be a lot of fun, I think, especially that Nebraska-Iowa game should be a rivalry from the get-go.
That should be a great game.
Yeah, but the Battle of Corn, it'll be on when they get together. All right, finally, your toughest opponent. Who was the toughest player you ever went up against?
Oh, my God. I think the toughest tight end was John Mackey.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Syracuse guy, Hall of Famer himself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I gotta stick up for my Syracuse guys. So if you mention one, I got to give him some props. He was one of the great tight ends of all time, certainly.
Yeah, John Mack was a running back, you know, and they made a tight end at him. I mean, he's a guy that was just unbelievable. You hit him, you know, he comes back. He's always got game. He was just like a coach on the field. He studied you he knew everything about me. I knew everything about him. And it was a dogfight, man, every time we played against each other.
Two Hall of Famers button heads. I would expect nothing less, that's for sure. Hey, Bobby, thanks so much for spending some time with us. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on down the road.
All right, then. I'll talk to you later, then.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com. It is time for a new era. With new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Succop wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left to the fullback. And a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday as the Chiefs now up to their knees in the preseason. The Falcon game in the rearview mirror. The Bucks to come. Right now, we talk to Chiefs defensive end Wallace Gilberry. Wallace, how are you, man?
I'm blessed. How are you, Petro?
Not too bad. I'm doing just fine. How are you doing after the first chance to hit somebody in another color jersey? Does it feel like you're into the season now?
I do. I feel good. You know, it definitely was a great opportunity for us to get better as a whole, and we accomplished some great things out there, but at the same time, we still got a long way to go.
And what did you think about the performance of your defense there on last Friday night against the Falcons?
It was pretty good. You know, as a unit, I think guys, you know, started to come together towards, you know, towards the middle of the or the down, so to speak, and really got some things going.
Yeah, and you know, how do you balance, you know, trying to be aggressive and trying to get yourself for that regular season opener with the Chargers, but not putting too many things on tape? Is that a difficult thing to do when you guys get together and you're talking about what you're going to do in this game?
It really isn't. You know, we just go with the game plan, what we got going on. I mean, to me personally, I'm pretty comfortable when, you know, in the calls that Coach Romeo Cornell calls out. So, I mean, we don't really worry about that too. We just worry about, you know, each play, getting better on each play, and, you know, and taking that from the next play to the next play.
Todd Haley said it's important, especially when it comes to evaluating players, it's important not to scheme too much, because if you have a great scheme, you know, not to say that you trick somebody with your schemes, but part of what it is when you design an offense or a defense is to go out and beat them mentally with something they don't see coming. He said, we want to just go out there and kind of play straight up so we can really define what our players are, so we can really see what we've got physically.
Exactly.
For the
yep.
guys, knowing that the scheme will help in the future. Is that how you view it as well?
Absolutely. I mean, he couldn't have said any more perfect. That's absolutely how I feel.
And what do you think about physically, how you guys did?
Physically, I think we matched up with, you know, they're a pretty physical team. You know, Atlanta, they brought it, and we didn't back down from them. That was a good thing. So, like I said, we just got to take each day, a day at a time, and just get better and better and just work on the little things. And, you know, like I said, hopefully have a pretty good season this year.
How important is it to get a win in the preseason?
It's very important. You know, for me personally, it's a mind thing. You know, you want to go out there, you want to put some wins on your schedule. Even when they don't count, to you as a person, they count. You know, the fact that you know that you can come out and win a game, you know, in the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, because it takes four quarters. And we know if we can win each four quarters, you know, we can kind of see what we're going to have this year.
How important is it for this team to stop the run better this year?
Very important, but it takes all of us. You know, everyone is not the left end or right end or the nose. It takes everybody up front. And like I said, once we get on the same page, and I believe we're going to be pretty good.
It seems like, you know, if you look at football, one thing leans on the other. The better you stop the run, the quicker you get the other team off the field.
Exactly.
The better you stop the run, the longer the distance they've got to go on third down. The further they've got to throw the football. It seems like maybe the first and most important thing in playing defense in the NFL is stopping the run. Would you agree with that?
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, you can't stop the run, you can't rush the passer. You can't rush the passer, you can't get off the field. So you're absolutely right.
How much does it help your pass rush? You know, when you line up, if it's a third and four versus a third and ten, how much more of an advantage mentally do you think you've got?
A lot, because, you know, by the down and distance, you can kind of, in much as you study plays and you break down their offense, you can see what kind of tendency they have in different down sets. You know, and when you third and four, third and five, you know, it's more, 9 out of 10, it's more likely you might get a run, draw, or a little screen or something like that. But if it's third and long, you know you got to pin your ears back and just get after it.
We're talking to Wallace Gilberry, Chiefs defensive end here in the red zone. You've been up in St. Joe now for a couple of plus weeks, two plus weeks. How has the heat been? I know we've had some cool weather here of late, but how has the heat been overall now that you've been able to experience training camp down here after River Falls?
It's been scorching. It has. And, you know, it really has. But like you say, it's kind of cooling off now, and, you know, it's kind of feeling like fall football. But before before this week, you know, it was hot, and I mean hot.
Has everybody kind of gotten a feel for St. Joe and the facilities there at Missouri Western?
Oh, man, it's beautiful. I don't know if you've ever yet, but it is beautiful. And they really did a wonderful job up here, man. And I know the team itself is going to be excited once they get up here and see what they have got going on. It is beautiful.
Where's the food better?
Excuse me?
Who's got better food, River Falls or St. Joe?
I mean, it's different parts of the world. So, I mean, you know, the food up there was great, and the food down here is great. So, I mean, as long as you get your proper nutrients, it really don't matter what it tastes like.
So it's not about the quality Wisconsin cheese versus, you know, the quality Missouri barbecue or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, everybody got their own swag. So, I mean, and that's definitely what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, how excited has it, or how different has it been to see the excitement of the fans there at the practices with many of them?
Petra, it is amazing. I mean, I think for the scrimmage, I think I heard them say we had 10,000 out there, and it looked like 20,000. It is, I mean, and we as players, we thrive off of that. You know, I always say when I first got here, we have the best fans in the NFL. So, I mean, it was amazing to see the amount of people out here.
Does it make it harder to focus and concentrate on what you're doing, or does the energy
Not at all, because, you know, we feed off of those guys. You know, they make our program, so it was definitely a thrill, you know, and kind of see what, because I mean, during the season, that's what we're going to see, you know, wall to wall fans. So, and I'm quite sure they're going to come out and support us, you know, no matter what. So just the fact that they were out there and the energy that they gave us, you know, it kind of felt like a game, so to speak.
How has it been working with the new coaches, working with Anthony Pleasant specifically there on the D line?
It's good. It's good. You know, like I say, everybody's coming in and everybody's working hard. And you know, he's a player's coach. So we're taking every bit of advice we can get from him and transforming him to the field. And like I said, hopefully turn into a pretty good defensive front.
People assume that, you know, defensive line techniques are defensive line techniques. But when you get to this level, that's not really true. Every defensive line coach kind of has his own approach to things. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's for any level. Everybody has their own little twist and their own little, you know, thing that they want to put on it, which is totally fine. You know, because football is football once you get down to the grand scheme of it. But everybody has their own little tidbits, and you know, Coach Pleasant, he has his, and we just take them and we just roll with them.
I've been told that Romeo Crennel takes, you know, he likes to be a little hands-on with the defensive line. Have you noticed that?
He does, but he's like that with everybody. You know, he's a coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he lets us play, and he definitely coaches.
Now, I talked to you a couple of weeks ago if you'd razzed him about the beer commercials. You said you hadn't had the chance yet. Has there been a time in the film room?
No, I haven't. You know, I've been nose to the ground.
Yeah.
I haven't. But it's still in the back of my mind, though.
Well, you let me know when you get a chance to pop it on him.
Sure will.
We're talking to Wallace Gilberry, Chiefs defensive end here in the red zone. You're grinding through two-a-days. You have the game with the Falcons. You come back. You get a practice in on Sunday. Monday, you're getting ready for a two-hour practice. And the coach says, we're going to the movies. What was the reaction like when he said that?
Oh, man, the team went crazy. It was like we had just won the AFC West. It was crazy. You know, guys, it was unexpected, you know, but we kind of saw where he was going, you know, because that's how you build chemistry off the field. And the fact that everybody on the team was able to go to the same place and enjoy a day from under the sun, from under the pads, you know, it was wonderful.
Now, what movie did you see?
I saw the Expendables.
The Expendables, is that the Sylvester Stallone? And
yeah, it's a great, great action flick. It was action packed throughout the whole movie.
Was it a very good team oriented movie?
Definitely. I mean, and different guys saw different movies, but that was they were a 5-man wrecking crew.
Well, what were some of the other movies that guys were seeing?
Charlie St. Cloud, I believe. The other guys, and I can't believe what the other one was.
What was one of them? What is that? Eat, Pray, and, you know, anyone hit the Julia Roberts flick that's out there?
No, we did not. That one wasn't on the list.
No chick flicks reviewed by anybody?
No chick flicks.
Maybe kickers or quarterbacks?
No. I think I saw Captain watching the Expendables, so, I mean, there was no chick flicks.
So they basically just kind of said, hey, whatever movie you want to go see, go get it?
No, we had a choice of four. We had a choice of four.
Okay.
It was like the four best movie that they felt that was out right now. The best reviews, so to speak. And I think everybody got, you know, didn't see a bad movie, so everybody enjoyed it.
Now, did you attack the concession stand? Was there a lot of popcorn and candy going in, guys?
Oh yeah. But you know, we still got to weigh in, so some guys had to be careful. But like myself, you know, I'm kind of, you know, on the fringe of good and bad. So I definitely enjoy myself.
Now, yeah, what, your hot dogs, nachos, what, popcorn?
All the above.
How many guys chose to just make it nap time?
I'm not sure. I mean, I kind of wanted to, but we still had another practice, so I didn't want to, you know, get too comfortable, so to speak. And I definitely was enjoying the movie, so I didn't really say. But I mean, you could hear some guys snoring through the walls
in
other theaters. So I don't have a clue who they were.
All right, let me give you my final four, Wallace. Four quickies.
Okay.
Who on the team has the most Bama gear? There's five of you guys from Alabama. Who wears the most Bama gear around there?
Javier Arenas.
Arenas, because he's the most recent, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a youngster. That makes sense. All right, do you watch preseason games, other teams' preseason games?
Yes, because I have a lot of guys who have a lot of friends, you know, throughout the league who's playing, so I definitely like to catch them and see how good they're doing.
All right, what was your favorite team in the NFL when you were a kid growing up?
The New Orleans Saints.
The Saints, okay. All right, just down there, proximity, I guess, played a role in that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and finally, what do you give the Expendables? On a scale of 1 to 10, what was the movie?
9.5.
No, you really liked it then.
Yeah, it was a lot. I love action. There was a lot of action in it.
Very good, very good. Well, Wallace, looking forward to a lot of action when you guys get back out on the field against the Bucs. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
The off-season workouts are complete. Training camp is underway. The new Arrowhead Stadium is ready to make its Monday Night Football debut. The NFL season is near. Will you be there? Great seats are available with tickets to Chiefs games starting at just $30. Single game Chiefs tickets are on sale now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or via Ticketmaster. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium and be there when your Chiefs take on the Packers, the Eagles, AFC West rivals the Broncos, Raiders, and Chargers, or the 49ers, Cardinals, Bills, Jags, or Titans. Great seats are available for all games but won't last long and are subject to availability. Don't wait. Get your single-game Chiefs tickets now at kcchiefs.com, the stadium box office, or any Ticketmaster location. The new Arrowhead. New body. Same soul. Big 12 college football action returns to Kansas City in 2010. Tickets are on sale now to see the Kansas State Wildcats take on the Iowa State Cyclones Saturday, September 18th at the new Arrowhead Stadium. The 2009 battle at Arrowhead featured the Wildcats blocking the Cyclones' game-tying extra point with 32 seconds left to preserve the one-point victory. Tickets start at just $20 and are available at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. Head coach Paul Rhodes and his Cyclones look to start the Big 12 conference season off right as they face off against the Wildcats and head coach Bill Snyder for the second year in a row at Arrowhead Stadium. Great seats are available in all levels and start at only $20. Get your tickets now at the new Arrowhead Stadium box office, Ticketmaster.com, or any Ticketmaster outlet. It's the K-State Wildcats and Iowa State Cyclones when Big 12 college football returns to the new Arrowhead Stadium Saturday, September 18th.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at KCChiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on KCChiefs.com.
All right, wrapping things up here in the Red Zone, Soren Petro with you as we get ready for the Chiefs and Bucks next edition of the preseason. It'll be interesting to see. Got to take care of the football better. Have to do a better job at establishing the offensive tempo, the offense in general, get some points on the board, and preferably play this game from in front. The Bucks are a team that are digging out of a hole themselves. You would expect the Chiefs. I think it's reasonable to expect the Chiefs to have more success on both sides of the football. Let's see that stop set, front seven stop the run. See that front seven get more pressure on the quarterback and see Matt Cassel maybe have a little more success. Didn't have a terrible day last time, but I like to see him have more success. I want to thank Bobby Bell for joining us, one of the great football players in the history of the game, and all-around great guy as well, and also to Wallace Gilberry, a young man playing great football and just getting better each and every year. Did a fine job on the pass rush, and you listen to him. Clearly a guy that fits the mold of what it is they're looking for here with the Kansas City Chiefs, a hard worker, a tough kid willing to put in the hours to work hard and get better. And I think nothing but good things ahead for Wallace Gilberry, Chiefs defensive end. So for Seren Petro, Curtis Siebold, Adam Pellegrino, and Brad Young, Seren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to the Red Zone with Seren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.